The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be to you. Remember that sentence. Most Lutheran pastors, and I'm one of them, will use the week after Easter to preach about doubting Thomas. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preach on the words that Jesus said to his disciples. And you know what they are? Peace be to you. The Greek is Irene Hymen, which means peace to you. And we get that beautiful woman's name, Irene, from it. I've had two beautiful ones. I won't go that way. And Jesus said peace. There's three elements of that peace that you and I must remember. The first is sin. The second is Satan. And the third is eternal life. Let's take the first one, sin. You know what the difficult thing of a pastor is? To tell people they're sinners. Everybody wants to be on the right side. The only way you get on the righteous side is to declare the glory of Jesus Christ in you. It happened on a Saturday afternoon, about 3 o'clock. I remember as if it was yesterday. My doorbell rang. And I opened it up to the door. There was a woman there holding a baby in her hand and crying her eyes out. And she said these words to me, "Father Drilling told me that you could help me." Father Drilling was the priest of the Roman Catholic Church across the tracks. I always said the Roman Catholics are on the other side of the tracks. When you go on that side, they see the Lutherans on the other side of the tracks. But she came and she's crying her tears out. And I said to her, I said, "If Father Drilling says that I can help you, I'll tell you in the name of Jesus, I can help you. I know that. Come on in." She came in and she laid her baby on a couch, and then she starts crying her eyes out, coming down, and I'm getting sweaty. What can I do? And then she says to me, "I want you to baptize my baby." I said, "That's no problem." I reach on my desk, I get out the paper where you got all the information, and she starts crying all again. And now I'm confused. And I said, "I will baptize your baby. What's the problem?" And she says to me, "Pastor Francis, you have to know the rest of the story." The rest of the story? I got, "What is the rest of the story?" she says to me. And she said these words, "I'm not married." I said, "That doesn't matter. When do you want the baby baptized?" They got two services, 8:15, 11. She said, "Did you hear me?" I said, "Yeah, I heard you." Now I'm going to tell you something that I've comforted many people in my ministry over this fact. Do you know what the fact is? Our Lord was born out of wedlock. Did you ever know that? How many of you were born, "I don't want to go that way"? Just telling you the gospel. And I told her, I said, "Baptism is for everyone. Didn't you read the scriptures? Go into the world and baptize." I want to tell you, I baptized 1,170 people. Praise the Lord in my life. I love it. Took down the information, she goes out the door. I'm in the house, I'm so excited about tomorrow. And my phone rings. Oh boy. I opened the answer the phone and introduced myself, and I could have seen and heard that woman scream and yell in my living room. And finally, she said, "Did my daughter tell you the rest of the story?" I said, "I heard the rest of the story. You want to tell me it again?" And I said, "I'm going to baptize your granddaughter at the 8:15 service, and I expect you to be there." "I'll be there." And she was. I wanted to say something that's offside a little bit. When I went in my diary to look up how many baptisms I've had, you won't believe this, the last person I baptized was baptized out of wedlock. Can you imagine that? The last person I baptized. And she's going with one of my members up. That's another story. Okay, so I want you to know that we have to start preaching about sins being forgiven. We got to do that. That's number one. Number two, and I don't want you to quote me on this part of my sermon, because this is the part of the sermon that I get into trouble with my wife. The story is, Satan takes Jesus, and he comes up to him and he taps him on the shoulder. And he says, Jesus, it says in the scripture that you can make these stones bread. Now, I want to just have another sidebar here. I got a lot of sidebars here. Remember the first miracle of Jesus? Changing water into wine. And then he says, change these rocks into bread. I could build a stone, no more. And Jesus said to Satan, and he used scripture, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now here comes the part of the sermon I don't want you to remember, but you will. I would have just loved to write one of the books of the Bible. I can see it now. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and John. And this is what I would quote Jesus as saying. When Satan said to him, Jesus, you have the power to make these rocks bread. And Jesus would turn to him in my book and say, Satan, go to hell. And then Satan is persistent, you know that. And he took him up into the balcony of a church, usually where the player sings, the organist is stashed. And he says, Jesus, it says that if you jump off here, your angels are going to catch you. And again, in my version of the Bible, Jesus turned to Satan and said, Satan, go to hell. Satan is persistent. And he took him out into a high pinnacle, and he showed him all the area you could see. He showed him Jerusalem, Iconia, Derby, Iconia, Lystra, and Port Charlotte. And he said to Jesus, fall down if you worship me and I'll give it all to you. And in my version of the Bible, Jesus said to Satan, go to hell. Don't quote me, please. Some people think I'm very righteous. Some people think I'm very nice. I don't want to shame them. I took that lesson one time and I taught my kids that. You know, every kid in the world hears the words, go to hell. Tell me about it. Every adult that I've known says what? Go to hell. Now, that's possible if you put Satan in front of it. If you say, Satan, go to hell. But yeah. And I taught that to my kids. And this one day, little Johnny was in the living room watching television. And his father comes in the room and he says, Johnny, it looks like it's going to rain. Go get your bike and put it in the garage. Johnny doesn't want to move. Then he remembers what I said. And he jumps up, and as he's running out of the room, dear old dad hears, go to hell. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Guess what? 15 minutes later, that doorbell of mine is ringing with a concerned parent. And he says, Pastor, I gotta wonder what you're teaching my son. I'm not too comfortable with it. I said, what I teach him is the word of the Lord. Come on in. And the father looked and said, Johnny, tell the pastor what you said to me when you ran out of the room. Pastor Tommy said I could say, go to hell. He said, what did you say? Pastor told me that I could say, Satan, go to hell. Well, I didn't hear that. Would you believe that young man of my congregation gave me a hug, and I still feel it in my heart today. Now, I want to say something to you. This is where we might part waters. You know, pastors ask their parishioners to do things in the church, don't they? Like, be on the church board. Teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, show up to help the aesthetics of the church all the time. And guess what pastors hear all the time? Satan, go to hell and I'll do it. Sometimes they just go on their way. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. When an ordained servant of the Lord asks you to do something, he's speaking as if Jesus wants you to do. Number one, get rid of your sins. Number two is tell Satan, go to hell. And what is the third thing? Eternal life. You know that's the greatest gift from God? I want to tell you something about a woman. And I want you to remember her name. Her name is Rose Anstead. A-N-S-T-E-T-T. She was the most naive human being I've ever met at age 60. You could not tell her an on-color joke, because she couldn't get it. But she had terrible kidneys. She was born with bad, bad kidneys. And she went to a doctor. There was my doctor, too, Dr. Donald Donovan. And he kept her healthy for 60 years. And one day she went to his office, and Dr. Donovan said, Rose, there's nothing more I can do for you. And Rose says, you mean I'm going to die? And he says, yeah. She gives him the biggest hug. She says, don't worry, doctor. I've heard the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going home to be with him. Do you know that? And she's going home with her husband, Walter. And she's talking about going home to see Jesus. Walter's crying his eyes out. He doesn't know what to do. Guess what he did? He took their whole bedroom and put it in the living room so that people could go see Rose. And this one day, Rose called me up. And she said, Pastor, you got to come and see me. Now I knew that she would die. I came in there, she grabbed my hands, and she said, Pastor, I think the moment is pretty close to me. I'm going home to see the Lord. And guess what this ordained minister did? I started to cry. I loved her. And then she shakes me. She said, listen here, Pastor. What have you been teaching and preaching all your life? Haven't you told me that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross? Haven't you told me that I'm going to go into eternal life and be with all the saints who run the world? Haven't you told me that? Yes, I believe it. And then she said something that was kind of nice and good. My wife knows this part of the story very well. She says to Walter, Walter, bring my purse to me, would you please? It was on the kitchen table. Walton gets up and he's crying. He gives it, and he brings the purse over to Rosie, lays it on her chest. And she takes out a piece of paper. And she says, Walter, I want you to marry one of these five women. You're a man that can't live without a woman. And she grabs the hand. Now, Walton, did you hear what I say? And he's crying, Walter, did you hear? I want you to marry one of these. Now, you don't know the rest of the story. He married number one. And they lived for almost 25 years after that. But Rosie taught me something that is absolutely true. There is a better life after this life. And it's redeemed through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something about me. When I was in homiletics class, that's where you learn how to preach. They say never use the word I. Oh, look in the scripture, the Apostle Paul. I. All over. This is me. I'm a dreamer. And I love to dream myself to sleep at night. I have no trouble sleeping, do I, Mom? I love to dream myself to sleep. And one of my favorite dreams is this. I've been called by the American Atheist Organization to be their keynote speaker at their convention. Wow! What a, me? Oh, nothing me. I've been called by the American Atheist Organization to be the keynote speaker at their convention. And then they said, what will your topic be? And I'm thinking, what would be a good topic that I could keep their attention? The Holy Spirit came upon me. Does she need some help? Does she? The Holy Spirit comes upon me, and guess what I think of? I'm going to tell them how to kill the church. And I stand up there in front of them. I says, my topic is today how to kill the church. And the whole assembly yells up, yeah. He's going to tell us how to kill the church. And I tell them, this is what you have to do to kill the church. Take the 28th chapter of Matthew, the 16th chapter of Mark, the 24th chapter of Luke, chapters 20 and 21 of the book of John, and rake them right out of the scripture. And then take the saints that have gone on before us, and the saints of today and the saints of tomorrow, who have it in their mind and heart that Jesus Christ raised you from the dead. You do that, and you will kill the church. Guess what? It will never be done. Only because of Jesus Christ. I remember what peace is. When Jesus stood before those disciples, and he said to them, peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven. You can tell Satan to go to hell, and you've got the gift of eternal life. Now, my beloved, do me a favor. Put your faith ears on. Put them on right now. You will hear Jesus Christ say to you,